Welcome to Pediatric Insight, where we have candid conversations with members of the Child Health Advisory Council and some of the nation's top academic child health leaders. I am Wesley Milliken, CEO of Career Physician, and your host. Each conversation addresses a leadership challenge or opportunity that's top of mind for today's pediatric leaders. The council breaks it down based on the wisdom and experience obtained throughout their distinguished careers. And now, I'm honored to turn it over to the moderator in today's conversation.
Thank you for joining us for today's Pediatric Insight. My name is Valerie Opapari, and we have some special guests with us today from our council, including Bruder Stapleton, Craig Hillemeyer, Bruce Rubin, Bob Sawin, Peggy Troy, and Arnie Strauss. And today's topic for the insight is the first of a three-part series that we're going to host on mentorship, coaching, sponsorship. And the first session for today is on the role of the mentor and the mentor's responsibilities. And to sort of get us grounded, because there is a lot of confusion with definitions and overlap at times between some of these areas of career development. The mentor is really considered to be an advisor, someone who's a wise, trusted individual who will share knowledge with a young protege. Coach is really somebody who's embedded in empowering the candidates, partnering with, to help inspire and maximize their personal and professional potential. Whereas an advocate is someone who, or sponsor is really somebody who advocates for an individual, spending some of their social capital to, again, advance opportunities for a candidate. I came across this as being kind of a fun way of putting them all together. A sponsor talks about you, a mentor talks to you, and a coach talks with you. So as that is kind of a background for today, we know that all candidates who are starting their career development, you know, there are critical questions that they have to ask themselves. Have you defined who your primary mentor is? Do you have a technical mentor because of the field that you're in that is in addition to your primary mentor? Do you have some sponsors you identified? And who's going to be kind of the master individual who helps guide you and all of your mentors and sponsors and coaches towards your success? So again, this is the first part of a three-part series. And today we want to open up really specifically talking about the mentor role. We've developed four questions to guide our discussion, and I think we'll just get started. The first question is pretty basic. What is the role of a mentor and how does it complement or vary from the roles of coach and sponsor? And we'd like to get the perspectives of several of our council members on this topic. And Bruce, I'm going to turn to you first. Bruce is our in-house historian, so I'm thinking he might give us a little bit of history to put this question in perspective. So Bruce, please take it away.
Not much of a historian, but more of a mythology nerd. And in discussing what a mentor is and should be, I go back to the original mentor. In Homer's Odyssey, during the 10-year Trojan War, Odysseus, who is the king of Ithaca, left his wife Penelope and his son Telemachus to lead his army. He was gone for 10 years, so he put Telemachus under the care of an old friend as to be a guardian. And this friend was named Mentor. It was going to be his job to protect and guide Telemachus to become a future king in the absence of his father. But Telemachus, having never been a king, turned out to be insecure, indecisive, and both Telemachus and Penelope, who was being pursued by a number of suitors, all suffered. So the goddess Athena, who is the goddess of wisdom, and as you may know, the namesake of the city of Athens, want to save Ithaca from these unscrupulous suitors. And so she came to young Telemachus in the form of a wise mentor, a different mentor, and with her guidance acting as a mentor, Telemachus killed his mother's suitors, established his claim and authority, and held the fort down till dad came back. And so, as Valerie said, the role of the mentor is really to be wise and to impart that wisdom to help somebody grow. But I also sort of note as an aside that it took a woman to fix what a man had messed up, and she even had to do that disguised as a man. So I wonder how much things may have changed.
That's great. Do you have any perspectives from your role mentoring that you'd like to also provide in sort of how you viewed your role, Bruce?
I did. And in fact, I'll probably talk about this later. One of the important things are to train the person being mentored as to what they should expect, what they should ask for. It's not just what the mentor should be doing, but what the mentee can be doing and should be doing, and make those expectations clear so that you can follow and ensure that you're meeting the expectations of both sides. If you're not, there are difficulties in failing. So the insights I've learned are to sit down at the beginning to be sure that the relationship is a good fit, that you have the time and the ability to do this, because regardless of your position, you may not be the best person to serve as that person's mentor, either because of your background, your knowledge, your time. And part of that really entails understanding what the person being mentored, the mentee, the Telemachus, expects of this.
Craig, I want to turn to you next. You've held so many roles: hospital administration, divisional leader, chair, dean. You've mentored individuals at all different levels. Is it the same at every level, or are there different perspectives that you found through your career mentoring others that you would provide?
That's a really good question. And I think that there are certainly some, I would almost call, technical aspects that are different at different levels. But I think there are some themes that are present for a successful mentor at all of the levels. And I think some of them Bruce mentioned. I think one of the ones is you really need to be available as a mentor. Mentors need to make sure that not only do they have, the mentee has access to them, but that they're also present when they're with the mentee. I mean, the relationship that you have with the mentee is really important, and there's nothing more off-putting than to not be there when you're actually there. You need to be focused on the mentee, and the mentee needs to believe and trust in you that you actually have their best interests at your heart. And those are really subtle things, but at every level, if that doesn't exist, then I think that relationship is not going to be nearly as beneficial as it could be. I think that accountabilities are something that I think in a successful mentor-mentee relationship, one needs to have expectations. And oftentimes these accountabilities have to do with time. Someone receives a grant, a K award, or something that gives them protected time. The mentor needs to make sure that the mentee understands those accountabilities and what is expected for their development at different stages of the time. And I think with the absence of that, the relationship is not going to be as productive as it could otherwise be. So I think no matter what the level, there are certain things that have to be there for a successful mentor-mentee relationship.
Bob, I'm going to turn to you now because you're our resident expert on coaching. But what I'd like you to give us some insight on is your view of mentoring, because you, in your career and your surgical specialties, you have to provide a lot of primary and technical mentoring. But could you also give us, beyond your mentoring perspectives, how you view mentoring to differ between coaching and sponsorship?
A big part of the difference between mentoring and coaching, I think, is the subject matter expertise, right? I mean, we all seek mentors in different parts of our professional life. An individual faculty member may have a mentor to whom they look up regarding technical conduct of surgery, might have a completely different mentor for their research, might have a mentor who's even different still for leadership development. So those all require people with experience and subject matter expertise. Whereas in coaching, in theory and in practice, a good coach can coach someone even though the coach might have limited experience in the field of medicine or the specific field of medicine. And that's because I think coaches are really looking at trying to develop the person and asking a lot of profound questions to try to get the coachee to identify their own solutions. And part of that is it's more powerful, it's more enduring when you ask a coachee What have you tried? What else could you try? And he or she then generates the ideas. They then own those ideas, and they have the responsibility to follow through. Whereas in mentorship, there's a little, I think, a tendency to be much more proactive. The mentor is more likely to say, you know, these are some things you could try. Here's what I've tried in my career. This worked, this didn't work. So it's a subtle, but I think a real difference. I heard someone quip one time that at the end of a coaching relationship, the client is tired. At the end of a mentor relationship, the mentor's tired. Connotation being that as mentors, we have more invested in the person and in their success. Whereas in coaching, it's a little more objective and a little more development of the individual.
Do you find, Bob, that there's a different approach that one needs to take as a mentee in terms of defining which role individuals will play for them in seeking out that kind of expertise? I mean, I wonder about how mentees actually even understand these concepts when they're seeking out someone to advise them or to sponsor them or to coach them.
So in my own department, we were required to have at least one resident mentee, and there was some effort made to assign those relationships based on a resident's ultimate career interest. But that's not always the best solution. There's a lot of dynamics that maybe determine the fit and the quality of the relationship. So while it's great to have structure at a department level to make sure everyone has a mentor, it needs to be dynamic enough and accommodating enough that you can find that fit that really works for people. You know, the other thing, mentors can evolve, right? I mean, over a 5-year residency, you could have several different mentors. And it may be that the needs you have as your career develops are different, and different sort of mentors would be more valuable than others. So I don't know, in answer to your specific question, I don't know that mentees necessarily know what they want, but they sort of know when it's a good fit. But I do want to say in that regard, though, you know, there's an assumption, I think, early in my career as a faculty member, there was an assumption, well, the reason I went into academic medicine was to be a teacher and a mentor. So of course I'm good at it. Well, in fact, you know, it's like anything else. It's a skill that needs to be developed. And our department chair spent a fair number of years requiring that all of us attend sessions on how to be a good mentor. I think that's really important. It's not something that some people are good at it intuitively, but others really need to be guided on how to be a good mentor.
And I love the fact that you used the word evolution, because the next question that I had for our panel today was the fact that academic medicine and medicine in general is continuously in evolution. And the question is, does the role of mentoring young clinicians and physician scientists, it's still critical? Does it change with the evolution of academic medicine? And what advice do you give to mentees who are seeking out a mentor to support their career development? And I'd like to turn it to Bruder now and see if he has any comments in his many, many roles mentoring at many levels.
I must say that in some ways, listening to Bob and his very insightful comments, seeking a mentor is a little different. Many people don't seek a coach. A coach is, you know, provided often for someone from a leader saying, you know, I'd like you to help someone who's having a challenge, whereas a mentor often is selected by the mentee. And as I think many people seeking a mentee also are seeking a coach and not able to distinguish between the two. And so in some ways, my mentors were also coaches. I think your idea about the evolution is an important one. I think one important point is a mentor is someone that you hope will have a long-term relationship. To select a mentor, it's important not to rush into that relationship. In our departments, we've tried to help people learn how to be a mentor, but also when we tried to assign mentors, it was not nearly as successful as developing a requirement for people by the end of their first year for their annual report to have identified a mentor and then to monitor how that relationship's going. And not identify a mentor, but identify mentors. And I think your point about the roles in academic medicine change, and people should, having insight into one's strengths and weaknesses and understanding where those areas could find beneficial mentors is really important. It's sometimes people think, oh, they need a mentor because they need help in some area they're not expert in. Well, people need to capitalize on their strengths as well. And so, you know, finding a mentor and mentors is important in terms of identifying who can have the time. And it's important to get opinions from people about who has been successful as mentor. And then to, as Craig said, to understand if you're hoping someone will be your mentor, to talk to them, do they have the time? And understand from others what that person's track record has been and sort of selfless commitment to another individual's career. So I think also having mentors at potentially different levels of their careers, someone who's just maybe not at the exact same level, but mid-career, who has gone through recently the same kind of career aspirations that you have, and also a more senior member who has a broader perspective over time and also can serve as someone who inspires you in a way that is really an important aspect. I think inspiration is an important part of mentorship. So I'll stop there.
Are there any other perspectives that you would, either of you would add to that distinction from your experiences, either advising mentees towards a different route of choosing a mentor or in your own personal experiences being mentored?
I think it's really important if you're seeking a technical mentor that person be someone who can inspire you and has a track record of positivity. And I've seen someone, for instance, who sought out someone because it was a narrow field, and that person ended up being an adverse mentor to that person. And so I think being careful about choosing a mentor who would not be competitive, you know, or potentially become competitive with you is a challenge. I know I've seen fellows who, because as they've grown, their own skills and stuff have surpassed their mentors, and it's become competitive. So I think that's one caution I would have is picking someone who has a reputation for being selfless and not invest too much in someone who is not being successful in terms of their collaboration and things like that.
Peggy, I saw you agreeing with Bruder, so I'm wondering if you have a few comments on this one.
Yeah, that Bruder, you really emphasized something that I think is really important. And I think it gets back to the whole issue of trust, in that the mentor, the mentee have to have a very important trusting relationship, and you have to actually be in it to win it, if you will, so that you effectively coach the individual. I also understand the concept of sometimes you learn what not to do in mentoring relationships. And I think that's also a very important perspective in all of this, because you can learn a lot from watching individuals who are your sponsors, mentors, coaches, and learn how you would like to do it differently and be better. And so I think that's another important concept that we can't underestimate, and it certainly can bring people along to do it in a very positive and effective way. I think excellent communication skills between the mentor and the mentee have to really be core so that there is a two-way communication, because understanding and getting knowledgeable of what the needs of the mentee are and then what the skills and expertise of the mentor are, we're not all things to all people. And so really establishing those sort of guidelines of what you're being mentored for. Is it, again, more in the technical space, in the true leadership space, in the academic practice, but also many of the trainees and then those that become leaders are expected also from my world in the business of healthcare. And I think that's another very important mentoring relationship, because there are many challenges out there. And to effectively lead your department, I think you need to understand all those other elements of what it takes to be a strong leader.
My next question for all of you is to turn the table and ask you to reflect on your own personal experiences being mentee'd. about the characteristics in your, you know, the people that you look back on and say, you know, these one, two, three, four individuals were critical to my success. What characteristics did they display that you found very helpful? And were there any that weren't so helpful? Peggy's kind of suggested that there might be some that aren't.
I was reflecting as Bruder and Peggy were talking about people who at times in my career were giving sort of tough love, you know, telling me things that I needed to hear that I didn't necessarily want to hear. And yet there were lots of other mentors who were more nurturing and more encouraging. I don't know whether I was just lucky or they seemed to come along, the right person seemed to come along at the right time. And while I say facetiously, luck, some of it I think gets to your earlier question about as mentees, you know, how do we go about searching for it? And my advice would be try multiple mentors and until you find the ones that click. And as Peggy said, there are going to be some that just they're not going to be right for you, or they may be right for you in some regard, but they do things that you see that you say to yourself, that's something I don't want to do. So yeah, I think mentees have to keep searching for the mentors. And as you implied earlier, your need for mentorship may change and evolve as your career evolves.
Yeah, I think those are really, really good points, Bob. I think one of the things that is really important, the unsuccessful mentees that I've seen oftentimes don't try to attach themselves to a mentor. And I think it's really important to understand and to try to talk about how important it is, and that having a good mentor is actually a strength. And if you look around, it's very important for the mentors to almost talk about how they had mentors during their career and how those mentors helped them. And it's not a sign of weakness. It's actually a sign of strength to have someone that you're able to learn from and to model behavior of. I think those are one of the reasons that sometimes people are not successful, because they think they're an island unto themselves and that they have to do it all themselves. And that's really not the case.
So. Yeah, that's a really important perspective, because I think everybody at every level of their career development and leadership development, their need for additional mentorship is always going to be present if they want to be successful.
I love the idea of multiple mentors. I also feel that there's different mentors for different aspects of what you're trying to learn. There's the formal relationship. And then I think that many mentees look for people that they feel have a positive influence and that they want to emulate and they want to be a part of. And I think that the mentees then need to seek those individuals out to say, hey, I'd like to learn a little bit more from you. I'd like to hear more about your ideas and your thoughts. And would you help me in developing my skills as well? So I think that it's a two-way street that the mentees and the mentors can line up from multiple different perspectives and for multiple different reasons. Unless you want to really develop a very formal mentoring program where you list a series of things, of items and topics that you feel in that person's development you need to cover over a period of time, that's a very different relationship than if you're more of the mindset of the fact that there are different situations for different reasons that I would like to understand better how I can develop that in my own career.
I'd like to give the other side, personal perspective of the very first time I had a true mentor. Fantastic relationship, complete failure as a mentorship-mentee relationship. This goes back almost 50 years. I had finished medical school and grad school and was doing a postdoc, and my advisor was brilliant, absolutely brilliant, 10 years older than I was and had done very little mentorship. He wanted to be friends, which was great because I was far from home in England and I wanted a friend, and we would meet, have a beer. We would talk all the time. If ever I asked something of him, he was always willing to give it, but he really didn't understand the role of a mentor, and I didn't understand at all what I should expect of a mentor. And although we're great friends even today, so many years later, the work floundered because of the lack of direction, the lack of advice, but a great friendship.
That's a really great perspective to share with us, because I think, that was brilliant. Thank you, Bruce. That was really great. Are there any final comments any of you might make, having listened to the comments of each other from the topic today?
I think one skill that mentors need to develop is how to give feedback when it might not be positive, to understand the importance of really challenging an individual, but doing it in a way with good purpose. That's an important skill, and it's one I think you develop over time, so that you do it in a way in which it influences positively and a positive outcome. I've seen a lot of situations where it comes off very negatively, and I think that really then can harm that relationship, but also does not help the mentee in particular evolve. There's shame, there's hurtfulness, there's all those things that come into it. So to be a good mentor is, back to Bob's point, that tough love, but doing it in a way with good purpose.
Peggy, do you have any suggestions for how to do that in a way that's gets rid of the possibility of the shame or a candidate being demoralized by the information?
Well, one of the things I always think about is, how would you like to be treated in that situation? And you want the feedback, you need the feedback. And in fact, if you don't get the feedback, it's a very ineffective mentoring relationship. But for instance, don't do it in front of others. Don't shame the individual. And I've seen that happen on rounds, times that I'm frankly very surprised that, yes, there needed to be that feedback, but could there have been a different, kinder way in order for that person to learn and grow? Because what happens in those situations, you shut down. So I think it's important that we reflect ourselves about that trust, that communication, those influencing skills. And again, back to my point, I always like to think about, how would I like to have been treated in that same situation?
I think these are really great points. One strategy that I've used is, you know, in every situation where things aren't going in the right direction with a mentee, there's always things that are going in a great direction. So grounding the conversation first on all the things that are going well and things that are going to be successful for the candidate. And then these are things that are going to make things even get better. So I think that might be one strategy.
It's so important, the trust relationship that we mentioned and Peggy mentioned earlier. And that does allow to give feedback when things aren't going well and for acceptance. But it also is important for the mentor to celebrate the mentee's successes. And, you know, it's one of the aspects of being of good feedback is to give several positive feedbacks for each time you, and that allows people to develop trust. I mean, and an aspect of that, and I think in mentorship, is the mentor rejoices in the mentee's successes. Being a visible supporter, as well as someone who is willing to step up and say, hey, I think, you know, that needs to change, or I would like to suggest you change, or that there's a problem there. But it's really important that the mentor be a positive supporter, and that allows a lot of openness to receiving information you may not want to receive. Wesley?
I'm just thinking of an early mentorship experience I stumbled into early in my career, and I ran into somebody who I thought was super cool, but I didn't give really any thought to the fact that they may be potentially wired exactly the opposite of me. And you know, what I can acknowledge today is that it's important for a mentor to be aware, but it's also really important for a mentee seeking mentors to be self-aware about their strengths and their weaknesses, and to go into those relationships not seeing their weaknesses as failures, right? But as opportunities to improve and to shore up who they are as a total person, a total leader. I was not self-aware. And so when this person was sharing with me where they thought I needed to improve and change it, I took it as them telling me about my failures versus opportunities to improve. And I think that probably is the undoing of a lot of mentor-mentee relationships is the lack of self-awareness. And I think it's an important thing as a mentor to have that conversation with mentees about who they believe they are and how they want to grow and what are their weaknesses, so that it's a comfortable thing to talk about and it's not seen as a, hey, this person's just pointing out my weaknesses. And if you bring that forward to just leadership candidates that we work with on a day-to-day basis, it's just really interesting when people are asked to talk about their leadership style and how easy it is for people to talk about their strengths. But I think the EQ, the credibility, the maturity of them being able to articulate their weaknesses and what they've done to work on those and improve on those is, I mean, that's where the good stuff is, right? Those are the kind of leaders that, you know, will pass that on to other people. And so just a personal experience that has really helped me over the journey for sure.
Well, I'd like to thank our council very much for today's discussion. It was an introduction to the whole concept of mentoring and mentorship-mentee relationships. And I think we covered quite a few areas, and I think there were a lot of great insights today on the differences between the role of mentor and coach. Thank you all for your perspectives, and I look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you for joining us for today's discussion. If you have a question for our council or have a future topic suggestion, please connect with us at pediatricinsight.com. The Child Health Advisory Council is comprised of a diverse group of emeritus deans, department chairs, division chiefs, and child health executives recognized for their leadership contributions in academic pediatrics and child health. The CHAC's impact is further bolstered by council specialty advisors who are active current national leaders in each of the subspecialties in pediatrics. Collectively, the 30-plus members of the CHAC bring unmatched wisdom and experience to career physicians' executive search and leadership development endeavors for its clients. Our council members include the following physicians: Bruder Stapleton, Christine Gleason, Craig Hillemeyer, Renee Jenkins, Danielle LaRocque Arena, Valerie Opapari, Bruce Rubin, Robert Sawin, and Arnold Strauss. To view our council members' bios, please visit careerphysician.com and click on the Child Health Advisory Leadership tab.